The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Let Me Count the Ways. In our culture, Black love is more than just a slogan. It's a way of life, and how we express it has deeper roots than you might know. Amid economic turmoil, political unrest, public health crisis, and general global strife, love, especially Black love, is a grounding force. Every time we express love, we honor our ancestors who dare to love deeply and fearlessly, even with the threat of being forcibly separated from each other and with the inability to establish comfortable homes, our people embraced one another with the singular faith that things wouldn't always be so bleak. Their decision to make room for hope and warmth has grounded and sustained us. I've experienced the full spectrum of Black love, from arranging flowers with my grandmother in her backyard to riding with my father on his tandem bike in the afternoons, to catching up with my mother on our daily homegirl phone calls. I also know love's more difficult side. As I embarked on the merry-go-round of a romantic relationship that often left me riddled with despair, I've listened to a lot of Keisha Cole and Toni Braxton, two tracks specifically, Keisha's Shoulda Let You Go and Toni's I Love Me Some Him, helped me navigate my emotions, heal, and later self-soothe. After surviving the highs and lows of Black love, I know it intimately, and the familiarity deepens my appreciation. Now, make no mistake, it's work. Lord, it's work. Consistently choosing someone can get difficult, especially when egos come out to play. But that's just the thing. It's a choice. You wake up every day and decide to love on your mate. Even though painful love may be a thing of the past, we can't pretend that some days aren't get out of my room and hit the sofa type days with a you a mess cherry on top. Still, we show up and try again because the I need us days outweigh all. Aside from encompassing strength and resilience, our love can also be intentionally tender. Although Black love can be complicated and nuanced, at its core, it is joyful. Even in terrible times, it is luminous, forcing out the grim realities of being Black in America and bringing the light. Today, as we honor the past and create space for the future, we count all the ways in which we continue the legacy of Black love. Jumping the broom. Black couples have been engaging in this custom at weddings since the 18th century. Tyler D. Perry, Ph.D., the author of Jumping the Broom, The Surprising Multicultural Origins of a Black Wedding Ritual, noted that our enslaved ancestors weren't free to marry legally. So many adopted the tradition of jumping the broom. As Perry shared in a 2022 New York Times article, this right was once practiced by marginalized communities in Europe. It was later introduced to enslaved people in America by white plantation owners. In the Journal for Southern Living, Patrick W. O'Neill includes a chapter called Bosses and Broomsticks, Ritual and Authority in Antebellum Slave Weddings, which observes that most slave owners use the broomstick to deem black marriages transitory and unimportant, and to assert authority and dominance over enslaved households. But for us, jumping the broom signifies a new beginning, sweeping out the old, if you will. It respects the families of each partner while acknowledging the holy union the newlyweds have undertaken. Over the past several hundred years, the tradition has endured. It is still a feature at Black American nuptials. After the newlyweds exchange vows and kisses, they hold hands and jump over a broom to seal their union. A family member can make the broom, or it may be an heirloom passed down through generations. My mother was the designated broom creator for jumping the broom rituals in our family. I'd watch her meticulously apply white and silver ribbon, custom-made satin bows, and fabric to the broom handle. She would then adorn the broom's base with dried lavender, pearls, and eucalyptus. It usually took her 3 days to decorate the broom. With pride, she would deliver her creation to the bride and groom, hopeful their love and bond would be eternal. For Black families today, jumping the broom marks the leap of faith needed to embrace Black love fully, paying for a full set. Black nail art can be traced back to 3000 BC, with Queen Nefertiti painting her fingernails and toenails red to mark her royal status. According to Nails, the story of the modern manicure, some Egyptians adorned their nail beds with artificial extensions made of ivory and bone. These days, getting our nails done serves as a rite of passage to womanhood. Every Black girl who has stepped into a nail salon remembers the first time she went with her mother, grandmother, or auntie. Having the creative autonomy to select nail designs that are true to you is liberating. Each design encapsulates a specific cultural aesthetic while accentuating Black women's personalities. But if our nails make a personal statement, that declaration can be rather pricey. A full set of gel nails, for example, can easily go for $50. So when someone pays for a complete set of nails for us, it demonstrates love by honoring our culture and accepting our creative choices and personhood. Wedding rings. Wedding rings are an emblem of devotion. The symbolism behind them has much to do with their circular shape, which represents wholeness and timeliness. Circles have no beginning or end, and like love, are limitless. As with nail art, ancient Egyptians pioneered the wedding ring. They believed the band represented eternal life and love, and ultimately a spiritual portal. Thus, they would exchange rings of love made of woven reeds or leather. Today's wedding ring symbolizes the promise of love, growth, and oneness. And for Black couples, it's also the beginning of a journey rich in African history. These days, our wedding rings are decorated with platinum, black bands, and large colorful diamonds. And from canary yellow to ruby woe red to powder blue, even engagement rings are now more modern in their look. Our rings reflect our communities, current styles, economic empowerment, and singular passion. Cooking soul food. Soul food is a staple in Black households. We whip it up to celebrate special occasions or just to encourage togetherness among family and friends. From collard greens and macaroni and cheese to candied yams, cornbread, and catfish, each dish proves that the way to everyone's hearts is through their belly. In his book, Hog and Hominy, Soul Food from Africa to America, Frederick Douglass Opie points out that our enslaved ancestors in the South had to make do with the food provided, which influenced our current eating traditions. The rations usually included discarded meats or dairy products. Nothing could be wasted. They decided to take those scraps and create a phenomenon. With modern soul food, we celebrate our foremothers' culinary creativity. Out of great struggle has come wondrous innovation. With each intentionally crafted plate we fix, we deepen our love and respect for one another. Greasing of the scalp. Nature's Blessings was the name of the hair pomade my mom used on wash day every Sunday. It was emerald green and smelled like a mixture of rosemary, sage, and peppermint. After blow-drying my hair, she would sit me in the kitchen, pull out a mustard-colored rat tail comb, part my hair into sections, and then grease my scalp. This was a sacred ritual for us. Every week would be the same routine. There was a sense of closeness and intimacy as my mother applied the grease to my tender head and smoothed my edges. It was a loving gesture meant to nurture the health of my hair. Many Black kids experienced the same custom growing up. Without access to their usual herbal regimens, our enslaved ancestors were forced to innovate new treatments that would moisturize and protect their hair from harsh weather conditions, fleas, and parasites. Many of them used bacon grease on their scalps. Centuries later, Madam C.J. Walker created a pomade that was a modernized version of the hair grease our ancestors had invented. Her 20th century scalp healing formula led to hair grease developing its own identity and category and generated a market for a Black beauty boom. Similar to braid takedowns, hair greasing, as it relates to romantic love, can be artful and sexy. Your partner not only signs up for an act of service, but shows their willingness to see and accept you in your most bare state. It's an invitation to deeper connection through a private act of intimacy, one that can be erotic even. Black women don't play when it comes to our hair, and for us to trust our partners with helping to care for our tresses means everything. Libation ceremony. Although wedding ceremonies are joyous, they can also have an air of somber reflection. As partners celebrate their union, they also honor deceased loved ones who passed away before the special day. Through a libation ceremony, Black couples pour out a liquid as an offering to a departed person's spirit, deity, or soul. The observance isn't limited to weddings and romantic ceremonies. Spiritual libation occasions are often held among close friends to honor loved ones who have passed on. On Tupac's 1994 track, Pour Out a Little Liquor, he describes how he's choosing to remember his lost friends and family by performing this rite. This tradition exists not just in our communities, but globally. It is practiced in Africa, Israel, Greece, Rome, Asia, and South America, to name a few cultures that share in the ritual. As with all expressions of love in action, the libation ceremony is a call for uniting, in this case, the deceased and the living unite again through love. The next article is titled, The Realities of a Recession. For months, analysts have waffled back and forth about the possibility of an American recession following the economic trials caused by COVID-19. Now, there is no more question of if, it is the question of when. And a large number of Black Americans are woefully ill-prepared. As Mark Twain said, history never repeats itself, but it does often rhyme. This is particularly true of the disproportionate racial slant of every economic downturn the U.S. has experienced. In the years immediately following the American Civil War, a recession caused panic across the country, but it affected Black Americans most severely. This isn't surprising, given that we have faced systemic oppression from the time the nation was founded. Although enslaved people gained legal independence with the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. The loss of free labor drove the South into a downturn for years after Black people worked as sharecroppers for white plantation owners for little or no wages, which helped create the vast racial wealth disparity we see today. Following the First World War, few were safe from the economic devastation of the Great Depression in the 1930s, but no one suffered more than Black workers who were already relegated to menial, low-paying jobs. The hardest times further exacerbated their poor treatment in the workforce, as Black Americans saw their wages cut. The Black community experienced the highest unemployment rate of that time. Fast forward to the recession of 2001, the 8-month economic slump prompted in part by the Y2K scare. White unemployment rose from 3.5% in 2000 to a high of 5.2% in 2003. During that period, Black unemployment rates soared from an already high 7.6% to 10.8%. And just 5 years later, during the Great Recession of 2008, Black people once again had the highest unemployment rate at 10.1%, compared with 7.6% for Latinx groups, 5.2% for white people, and 4.0% for Asian Americans. The year before, the black unemployment rate had been an already high 8.3%, which was more than twice that of whites. The pendulum has swung in much the same direction for more than a decade. And now we are staring at yet another economic crisis following the COVID-19 pandemic. It has been well documented that black businesses suffered the most during the lockdowns, and more than a year after the state's shelter-in-place mandates have been lifted, they are still struggling. Although some steps, such as the proposed forgiveness of a portion of student loan debt, have been taken by the Biden administration to relieve the strain of economic inequity as we near another recession. It has been proven time and time again that the government alone is not going to save us. Darren Dodson, a former Stanford Business School Dean's Management Board member and managing partner at the asset management firm Illumin Capital, regularly examines how systemic racism impacts black financial security, particularly during sweeping economic crises. Generally speaking, during the subprime lending crisis, the racial wealth disparity grew throughout the country, Dodson points out, and the net worth of black Americans went down massively. A lot of this was because of the systemic stripping away of home buying equity. And a lot of what I study is the way that even when black companies and black entrepreneurs and black fund managers are outperforming, systemic biases push back against them and leave money on the table. So, whether it's the government or the private sector, I think the notion that no one is coming to save us is true. Despite this sobering assertion, Cedric Nash, an entrepreneur who has built a multi-million dollar business portfolio, says there is hope. He points out that although many analysts project that a 2023 recession is 100% likely, he agrees with their predictions that it will be mild in comparison to those of the past. What's really interesting is that in hindsight, some of the recessions are actually shorter than what they felt like, says Nash. For example, the 2008 Great Recession only lasted about 18 months technically, but it felt like it went on forever, right? And the same thing with the whole COVID situation. But Nash also cautions that even with forecasts indicating the slowdown will be softer than previous ones, black Americans should safeguard themselves. A recession is still a recession, says Nash, and companies still will lay people off and cut back on their spending, which has an impact on small businesses as well as on African American people. He notes that despite warnings, black consumers currently seem to be engaged in a delayed spending trend in which individuals splurge on items and experiences they feel they missed out on during the COVID-19 lockdown. What's also really interesting is that our community has really kind of doubled down on luxury spending. Traveling, buying luxury items, Nash continues. A perfect indication is how Bernard Arnault, the owner of the luxury goods company LVMH, grew his wealth to over $100 billion during the pandemic. During that time, African American spending reached $1.6 trillion, but our net worth dropped by about 14%. He says, as we approach the coming decline, Black Americans, even those who are doing well financially, should be careful not to allow their spending to get the best of them. Brittany Applegate, who ran her own advertising consultancy and resume writing agency full-time before the pandemic, returned to the corporate workforce in early 2019 to shore up her finances. She couldn't be more relieved. "Although I own two businesses," she says, "at the time I wasn't generating enough on my own to sustain everything. So I chose not to ignore any LinkedIn job notifications coming my way." Nash encourages people to take a hard look at their finances, much like Applegate did, and find ways to protect themselves against the looming recession. "We really have to buckle down and cut back all unnecessary spending," he advises. He also suggests that people explore creative ways to generate passive income. "We're in a world where there's a lot of opportunity to freelance, whether it's doing hair, or helping small businesses with their computers, or maybe you're a teacher who can tutor kids who are in need of special assistance," he says, adding that safeguarding your financial future can be done. "But though it's imperative that we stay cognizant of the economic downturn ahead, one thing is for sure. History has shown very clearly that Black people are equipped to fight nearly any challenge that comes our way." The next article is titled, "Love Rules: Our Staffers Share Relationship Goals to Aim For Whether You're Already Booed Up or Still Searching for the One." Relationship objectives should be big, long-term, and approached like a business, with SMART goals, meaning goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based, by Clarence McGain, Sales Strategy Manager, Beautycon. "This is true love, freedom to be my full, authentic self, safety in each other, so we can evolve to the highest versions of ourselves, strength in our union." Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.